All right, fantastic, fantastic. This call is now being recorded. And so these calls, by the way, they get posted in the back office, and they also get posted on healthybodychallenge.com. And so those are the two areas that you can find some of the archived calls. And so last week, we actually talked about adrenal health and adrenal function and just how important those little glands are that sit on top of the kidneys and help to really kind of manage some of our anabolic hormones, sex hormones, if you will, testosterone and estrogen and things like that. But they also play a very key role in regulating our stress hormones. And so for a lot of individuals who are under a lot of stress or trauma, these adrenal glands can get very taxed. And when they get taxed, they can start producing less of the hormones that help us to actually balance all of these different types of toxicity that's caused by stress. And therefore, it can cause everything from, poor mood to weight gain to a lot of different types of metabolic diseases and illnesses, right? And a lot of the health issues that we face are deeply rooted into the metabolism or the energy systems of our body. And so that's what we talked about last week. And then we obviously recommended a few products that Youngevity has that would help to support adrenal health and adrenal function. And you'll actually find that on the Facebook post that I had for the call as well too. But one of the topics, or the topic that I want to talk about today, is actually something that many of you that have been following the Youngevity kind of formulation philosophy as of date or recently have been seeing a lot of, and especially with products that I am formulating, that Jordan Rubin is formulating, and many of the formulations are together, him and I, and also some other types of new brands that are being brought into Youngevity as well too. We are beginning to use this technology or process called fermentation. And fermentation is basically a natural process that the body actually does to different types of foods or all types of foods and nutrition to help to break them down, to release nutrients, to release different types of enzymes, to create different types of physiological kind of benefits, meaning that through the process of fermentation, the body actually knows exactly what different enzymes to produce. To break down different types of nutrition, as well as to prepare the digestive system for absorption and utilization of the nutrition that it's taking in. And so this process, I probably, you know what, guys? Probably the one that maybe you guys know of, but one of the things that, if you're into nutrition and read a lot about this, you always kind of hear of eating fruits. Eating fruits before your meal rather than afterwards, right? Like a lot of people will eat fruits as their dessert, right? And I mean, it is a healthier dessert than cookies or ice cream or cake or something like that. However, if you want to make it really healthy, you would actually eat fruits before your meal. And the reason for that, or one of the reasons for that, is that a fruit, which is made up of sugar, and most of fruit is simple carbohydrates, even though it does have some fiber and pectins and things like that. But sugar will break down very easy in the body. The body has a very simple, easy time to break down sugar. And if you've had a meal, a very heavy meal, and then you eat fruit afterwards, and that meal is not fully digested, those fruits or those sugars, they end up sitting in the digestive system for a long time. And what ends up happening then is they end up fermenting. And so they end up being in the process of being broken down for a longer period than they should be. And fermentation, it has kind of a past due point, if you will, right? If things ferment too long, they become very acidic and they become very inflammatory. So think about this, right? Is that when you leave fruit out or fruit juice out too long, orange juice out too long, it essentially begins to turn sour, right? It happens with milk as well, too. It happens with wine as well, too. And that's because this fermentation process, which is a natural organic process that goes on in foods and in drinks and things like that, it goes on too long. And then it becomes, it creates a high acidity because one of the outputs, if you will, of fermentation is lactic acid. Okay, right? Lactic acid. And many of you know lactic acid because lactic acid is also one of the outputs of muscle breakdown, right? And muscle use. And that's what can cause muscle soreness and inflammation is a high amount of lactic acid. And so the body has a natural way of actually flushing that lactic acid, and that's through movement and blood circulation and things like that. That's why you'll oftentimes see athletes on the sidelines, on the bike, right? If you know of any hockey players, one of the big things that hockey players do right after they get off the ice after a game is they'll jump on the bike and then they'll start moving a little bit because they're helping to flush out more of that lactic acid. So anyways, that's basically what that whole process is, and that's one of the things that you might be very familiar with or whatever, you know, right? But fermentation, like I said, has been used for, you know, centuries and centuries. A lot of different cultures have used the process of fermentation because fermentation was actually a way to preserve food, okay, right? It was a way to make food last longer without refrigeration and airtight canisters or bags or things like that. And it's kind of made a little bit of a fashionable, if you will, comeback. And that's because fermentation, one of the biggest benefits of fermentation is that it is a provider of a lot of very healthy, good bacteria. And this many people oftentimes will perceive bacteria as bad because they hear of bacteria as something that is toxic or viral or whatever it is. I'm actually talking about the healthy, good bacteria. There's actually good guys of bacteria. And those good guys of bacteria actually sit in the digestive system and in the gut and in the small and large intestine, specifically the small intestine. And it produces a very, very healthy digestive system. You hear Dr. Conaway, who's always talking about the digestive system and the gut. And one of the things that she obviously talks a lot about is the healthy microbiotic microbiome, if you will, of the gut. And that's basically the environment of the gut and the environment of the, or specifically the bacterial environment of the gut, right? And so when you think about fermentation and you think about the fact that what this entire process does is it basically takes these microorganisms like bacteria and yeast and fungi and basically converts it to organic nutrients, organic compounds. And those organic compounds are things like sugars and starches. And then it takes those sugars and starches and it turns it into alcohols and acids. And so it takes the food that you're consuming. It then adds healthy bacteria, adds in yeast, adds in sugars. And then it basically goes through this entire process and then it converts it to these different types of alcohols and acids, which then produces a lot of different types of enzymes. and a lot of release of nutrients. And that is the biggest thing about fermentation, is that what you're basically doing is you're just pre-digesting this food. You're making it easy for the body to not have to go through such an extent of the fermentation process. And because it doesn't have to go through that extent of the fermentation process, it makes it very easy and less stressful for the body to digest and utilize. Now, another benefit of this is that depending on what your digestive system is and looks like and the condition of it, is that you may not go through the full fermentation process. You may not have the ability to fully ferment the foods that you're eating because you have poor digestion, or you've been eating a lot of processed foods or taking medications or eating sugars or having food allergies. I mean, various types of trauma to the digestive system that causes your system not to work optimally. And the thing that it does to work optimally is to have this proper fermentation process. And so therefore, if you start fermenting these foods long before you consume them, then you don't have to worry so much about what your digestive system is. And that's why you'll notice that a lot of people that are not very healthy, that are overweight, that are just coming off of medications, just coming off of some sort of hospital procedure or whatever it is, haven't been treating their body very well for a long time when they were younger. Some of the very developmental years of your digestive system, if you weren't doing the right things, will instantly feel a tremendous amount of benefit, health benefit in a lot of different areas when they start consuming fermented foods on a regular basis. And so, so like I was saying earlier, I mean, here's the thing, like the bacteria that live in your gut are incredibly vital. They're incredibly essential. They help with everything from digestion to absorption and even like assimilating the nutrients that you're taking into the body. And so they actually bind to certain nutrients that is in food, which help them to easily get assimilated into the digestive system through the digestive walls. And all of this, if there was one kind of key benefit that you get from all of this, is it tremendously helps your immune system. And that's one of the calls that I actually did yesterday for our group in Mexico, is that, you know, your immune system at the very end of the day is the system that everything funnels into. So if you have poor digestion, if you have poor cognitive ability, if you have gained weight, if you have joint pain, if you have all of those things, those are basically can be seen as symptoms of a poor immune system or an immune system that's not functioning properly. Let me give you an example. So let's say that you have joint pain. So joint pain is caused, the root cause is because you have some instability or some deterioration in the joint. So like currently right now, I have a small tear. I haven't gotten it checked out, but it doesn't hurt a ton. But I believe that I've got a small tear in my meniscus. So in my a little cartilage that sits right under behind the kneecap, if you will. Okay, right? Now, it doesn't hurt me too much. I mean, it doesn't hurt me from going side to side. It hurts me if I run too long. It definitely does get sore, and it feels, it hurts. I know something's wrong in it, okay, right? So yes, on one hand, I've got a tear, okay? But then on the other hand is that I've got some pain, and that pain is due to inflammation. Inflammation is the weapon that the immune system uses to be able to deal with trauma. And I have a lot of inflammation in there. Well, the inflammation is never supposed to be this to this extent, but it's because my immune system is not working as well as it could, because it's probably working on a bunch of other things, because I work out all the time. I work, 9-10 hours. I do a lot of different things, and even though I do take a lot of supplements and I do eat really well and I do all that sort of stuff, still, I believe that all of those things, I'm not fully fully at a one-to-one ratio with all of the stresses that I put my body through. And that's just kind of something that I don't think that's not a normal thing. It's just, it just is what it is. You know what I mean? Right. And as long as it just doesn't compound for me, I'll be okay. I take rest days. I do all that sort of stuff, you know, blah, blah, blah. But so here's the thing. If my immune system was strong enough, I may be able to deal a lot quicker with some of the inflammation that's around my joint. If I deal with the inflammation that's around my joint, I may have a lot less pain. And so there's an example of how the immune system directly relates to something that most people would look at as a separate issue. You have joint pain, that's different than having an immune system. But really, they're tied very close together. It's just like being overweight. You may be overweight because you have a lot of toxicity in the body. The reason why you have a lot of toxicity in the body is because you have a lot of fat, and fat creates toxicity. If you were able to reduce the toxicity in the body may be able to deal with some of that fat, but unfortunately, it has to deal with the toxicity that's from the fat and deal with the fat. And your immune system is one of the things that gets suppressed or compromised because of the fact that you are overweight and you're producing a lot of toxicity. That's why you'll notice a lot of people that are not at their optimal weight or that are very overweight either get sick a lot, or when they do get sick, maybe they not get sick a lot, but when they do get sick, it lasts for a lot longer than someone who's a lot healthier. It's all about recovery time. And that's the sign of health, is recovery. And so that's one of the big things that your gut bacteria or your healthy bacteria modulate, support, and enhance, is your immune system. And so do remember, I mean, just because I do say that there is good bacteria, there's also bad bacteria as well too, okay, right? And the bad bacteria also makes its home in the gut as well too. And it's just kind of inevitable that you're going to have good and bad bacteria. You can't just rid the body of entirely all of the bad bacteria. And that's not really the point. What the point is to be able to actually balance the good and bad bacteria and make sure that the bad bacteria doesn't get so out of hand that it starts growing like weeds and starts eating away at the good bacteria. That's what bad bacteria does. And that's why you got to be really watchful of bad bacteria, is because unlike good bacteria, the bad bacteria has the ability to crowd out the good bacteria. But when you'll know, by the way, you'll know whether you have more bad bacteria than good bacteria if you feel things consistently, like bloating and constipation, if you have diarrhea a lot. You know, those are the things that would indicate to you right away that you have more bad bacteria than good bacteria, because your body's not supposed to bloat. It's not supposed to be constipated. It's not supposed to go have diarrhea. And so anyone that is dealing with those things, you should check your bacteria ratios. And by the way, I just read of a way to do that. I didn't know this, but actually you can go to a naturopath and they can take a stool sample. And I think they take a stool sample for like 2 days or something like that, 2 different days. And they send that stool sample to a lab. And the lab has the ability to tell you exactly the bacterial strains that you have in your gut, which will then allow you to figure out what probiotic or what bacterial strain that you need more of. So it's kind of interesting. I almost thought about doing it, but I don't have any the gut issues at the moment. But anyways, when you have, like, basically what's happened is that we've been eating all of these kind of new nutrition, right? New diets, you know, that are really high in refined sugars and processed foods, a lot of carbohydrates, which is a sugar. Remember, I keep trying to teach you guys that carbohydrates is a sugar. And so be careful about eating too much carbohydrates, even if it's the very healthy type of grains like quinoa and Aramath and millet. You know, those grains are healthy, but they're still carbohydrates. and they're still going to break down into sugar. So you've got this kind of new diet that's kind of happening in the body that's high in these sugars and high in these carbohydrates, and oftentimes has chemicals and preservatives and things like that. And then on top of that, you live like really stressful lifestyles. It's something that I talked about a little bit ago. You know, we constantly think that everything is kind of priority number one and it's an emergency. Well, we end up using a nervous system, our sympathetic nervous system, that is not meant to do that. You know, it's not meant to be on for a long time, you know, right? It's just made to be on every few times a day, if you will, at very short intervals. You know, it's kind of the fight or flight. It is the fight or flight nervous system. But whenever you turn that system on, although it's very effective in getting your body to do certain things, it's very destructive for the body as well, too, and it wears it out. And it wears it out especially in the gut lining and all of the neural fibers that actually are connected to the gut. And so you basically then create an environment that basically feeds the bad bacteria. So stress, your stressful lifestyle and eating foods that are high in sugar and high in carbohydrates and having these different types of toxic elements in the food basically are the food or the feed for bad bacteria. And when you start feeding the bad bacteria, you essentially just create an overcrowding issue, if you will, right? And so you need to bring the gut, you know, back into balance, right? And I actually mentioned some of the foods that are really big in or very high in these probiotic and prebiotic. Probiotic is the food for probiotics, if you will, okay, right? And prebiotics are the food for probiotics. So it's important to feed these healthy, good bacteria of the body. And so foods like kefir, which is a like a drink, it's like a dairy-based drink, has a lot of different strains of bacteria and yeast. And the cool thing about kefir is it's also rich in minerals and vitamins, specifically vitamin B and vitamin K, and just not any vitamin K, it's actually vitamin K2. And K2, there's K1 and K2, and K1 is the blood clotting one, but K2 actually has a lot of other different types of health benefits. It actually helps to build the endothelial wall of the cells, helps to, it almost works almost like a vitamin D as well too. It's almost like a pro-hormone. And so a really, really good. One of the things that's probably a little bit more familiar to most of you is sauerkraut, right? And sauerkraut is actually, I don't know what language is, but it basically means sour cabbage, okay, right? And it's been around for absolute centuries. We kind of always eat it with bratwurst and things like that, right? And the cool thing about sauerkraut is it's really high in fiber as well, too. And fiber and iron are two things that I really like sauerkraut for. Miso is another thing. Miso soup, you probably hear about that or drink that if you're a sushi fan, right? And it's basically made from fermented soybeans. And I know a lot of people have issues with soybeans and soy, but the soy things that have been shown in research to increase estrogen and are actually not the fermented soy. Fermented soy actually breaks down the particular soy isoflavonoid, it's called, that increases estrogen. So those are very two different things. And so miso is something that's very safe and good to drink regardless. There's kimchi, obviously. That's something that a little bit more foreign, I think. The one thing my mom and dad make a lot of, and it's big in India, is these lassis, right? Mango lassi. And if you go to like an Indian restaurant, they have that. Basically, that's just like fermented milk and yogurt, basically, you know, right? One of the big things you'll see at stores right now is these ready to drink, like kombucha teas, if you will. They're super sour. Some of them actually taste good. I'm not a big fan of them, honestly, but they are really good. And basically, they take black tea leaves, and black tea leaves are very unprocessed tea leaves, and they pair it with a yeast, and it turns it into sugar, has yeast and sugar together. They mix it with the black tea, and then it turns it into like a basically an alcohol, and it's carbon dioxide. That's why it's all fizzy and everything like that. It has these different types of acids and things like that. That's why it's really sour and stuff, you know, right? And then just the last one I think I always think about is the one we are very common to eat, which is yogurt, you know, right? And Greek yogurt is really good. Regular yogurt is great. They've done some studies on yogurt. The Activia yogurt was the big one. They obviously talked about our you see in ads and things like that. And it has a specific strain of bacteria. It's called lactobacilli bacteria. And this actually converts the sugar that's in milk into its smaller units of glucose and the galactose. Anyways, the whole point of it is that that then turns it into lactic acid, which gives it the sour taste, and it makes it so it's really valuable for your gut microbe, if you will, you know, right? And so, all of those foods that I just mentioned, they're super, super great for you in probiotics. They have all different types of probiotic bacteria in there. You should consume them, at least one of them a day. You don't need a lot. You don't need a lot to actually help your gut. Just you need a lot of consistency. So having one of those foods daily is really important. And the benefits, I think, if I were to name them off real quick, I think number one, it really helps with digestion and absorption of nutrition. That's probably the number one thing that it does. When you start feeding your gut and you start creating a lot more of this healthy, good bacteria, you're going to be able to digest all different types of foods a lot more easily. You're going to be able to break them down into smaller elements, which then will increase absorption and utilization, and therefore you'll get more out of your food. I think that the second benefit is that these good bacteria and these microbes, they help to attach themselves to certain nutrients to make them easily assimilated in the body, especially minerals, vitamins and minerals. Fermentation can increase the availability of those two things significantly, drastically. That's why if you feel like you're not getting everything from the products that you're taking, like for example, a lot of people when they take BTT, it's pretty common, or not common, but if you're going to have an issue, one of the common issues of taking BTT is that you'll get like diarrhea, like it'll run right through you, okay, right? And a lot of the reason for that is because your gut is not in a very healthy state. And so one of the cool things with BTT is that it actually has pre and probiotics. So it's going to help to reline your gut and to rebuild your gut while you're drinking it. But one of the things that you would want to do in addition to that is to start taking a lot more of these healthy bacteria in these food forms so that you can get your gut into that healthy state a whole lot easier, okay, right? And there's just kind of so much research on this, and so I encourage you to go on the web and search out all of the health benefits of having healthy digestion and having a healthy gut filled with the right types of a good bacteria. And you just might very well find your health issue is because of the fact you don't have a lot of these good bacteria. So anyways, guys, I hope this information was really valuable. Please take a look at probably three products that I would say are very key in the Youngevity line. The number one product that is called the Youngevity Super Greens. And so the Youngevity Super Greens was a product that came out a couple months ago, and it is a blend of different types of fruits and vegetables, superfoods as well, too. It's highly dense in vegetables and greens, plant-based nutrition. But what we did is we took all of those ingredients and we put them through a very specialized and proprietary fermentation process. So the entire product is fermented. And so this can really help you not only to get some of the very nutrient-dense greens into your diet, but get them in a way in which your body can absolutely absorb and utilize those nutrients straight from the get-go and give your body the ability to rebuild its digestive system. So that's number one. Number two, look at a product called Root Beer Belly, and Root Beer Belly is really fantastic. It tastes great, and it is a freeze-dried probiotic product that you can take every day. There's a capsule called Ultimate Flora that also has three different types of probiotics. And then one of the ones that I like as well, too, is there's a brand that we have called Projoba. And Projoba has Probactobacillus product. It's called Projoba I think it's called Probactobacillus. And you'll see it. And it has two different strains of probiotics. It has the lactobacillus strain and the bifida strain, and those are the two main strains of your gut. So anyways, guys, check out those products, and I will hear all of you next week, and I will throw the topic up on Facebook when I know of it. If you guys have any suggestions, please Facebook me, and I will make sure that I cover it. But don't go anywhere, because we have the wonderful Leanne King, who will be talking about essential oils, which I have been using a lot of recently, and it's helped me to sleep, and it's also helped my varicose veins. So I'm really kind of jazzed on essential oils. So Leanne, are you out there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Fantastic. I will unmute my, or not unmute, I will stop the recording so you can get going.